I have chosen to read from the book of Lamentations. If you remember, that's the Lamentations of Jeremiah, so they come at the end of Jeremiah. It's a little short book before you get to Ezekiel. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. It is of Yahweh's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. That's Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we are truly grateful that we can be here today, that health and strength permits us to be here. We are mindful of those among us who are not well. We do pray that you would suit unto each one that which they need. Help us to be faithful to you as you are faithful to us. Guide and direct us, we pray in his name. Amen. It's Revised Standard Version and Lamza say, the steadfast love of Yahweh never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. What we want to bring out today is the faithfulness of God and the faithlessness of man, including ourselves. You go back to God's promises, especially Genesis 8, 21 and 22. After the flood of Noah, God made a covenant with Noah, telling him that he would not again destroy mankind and earth as he had in the flood. Said that Noah had made him an offering of every clean beast. We always get the picture in the ark that there were two of every kind, but, and so you say, well, what did he do in offering of a clean beast for offerings? But if you read closely, he had seven of clean beasts. So Yahweh smelled a sweet savor, and Yahweh said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night, shall not cease. If you ever hear of anybody that's going to have the earth destroyed on a particular day, don't worry about it. He doesn't know what he's talking about, because God said that while the earth remains, all these things, God would never again destroy it. And while the earth remains, there would be all of these things. So that's part of the faithfulness of God, is to have seed time and harvest. This is, and he said, cold and heat and summer and winter. Sometimes I suffer like everybody else in the cold and the heat, but I said, well, this is part of God's faithfulness. He said there would be seed time and harvest, summer and winter, and cold and heat. Another thing that we know about God from the book of Acts, 17th chapter and the 25th verse, where Paul is giving that wonderful sermon on Mars Hill, that God provides for every living thing. And when we think about the food for the entire world and everything that lives on this earth, it is really monumental. He said that God is not worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he gives to all life and breath and all things. The way I see it, the big problem through the centuries has been distribution. In other words, the United States is known as the breadbasket of the world, and yet sometimes we hear, in fact right now, that Africa is in terrible condition as far as drought and people dying from lack of food. Well, a lot of it is going from here to help them, but so many times, as it happens, the politicians over on that end get a hold of it, and they make it hard for it to be distributed to the people that need it. But as it says in Lamentations, morning by morning, we see his faithfulness. In fact, in the book of Malachi, this is the last book of the Hebrew Old Testament, he talked about bringing all the tithes into the storehouse and proving him, testing him, trying him, that he would open the windows of heaven. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith Yahweh of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God is faithful. He provides seed time and harvest. Morning by morning, we see his faithfulness. And according to this text, he's faithful to his people too. That is one of the things that we can all attest to. God has blessed us. Many times we don't deserve it, but he still provides. But our text again, it is Yahweh's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. I've often, a lot of people get the idea that God pours out direct retribution or reward on people. They say, well, he wasn't doing right, and that's the reason thus and such happened. That's not biblical. That's not true. If there was direct retribution, all of us would have been destroyed. As he said, his mercies, it's by his mercies that we're not consumed, and because his compassion does not fail. He is good to his people. He keeps his promises. Israel has been so unfaithful to God many times. Good king, bad king, captivities and so on, depending on what they were doing. But he is still, though they've been unfaithful to him, he's still been faithful to them. In fact, Jeremiah, the third chapter, talks about Israel being like an unfaithful wife to God. And yet, he still turns around and blesses her. In fact, in Lamentations, the first chapter, the first two verses, how doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? How has she become as a widow? She that was great among the nations and princess among the provinces, how has she become tributary? She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she hath none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They are become her enemies. And then at 8th and 9th verses, Jerusalem hath grievously sinned. Therefore she is removed. All that honored her despise her, because they have seen her nakedness. Yea, she sigheth and turneth backward. Her filthiness is in her skirts. She remembereth not her last end. Therefore she came down wonderfully. She had no comforter, O Yahweh. Behold my affliction, for the enemy hath magnified himself. There are many other texts that show her unfaithfulness, but his mercy is still conveyed. And still he's faithful, though she is unfaithful. So our lamentations, again, 22a, they are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Deserve to be consumed, but are not because his compassions fail not. He keeps his promises for good or evil. In fact, that is one thing that God cannot do. Two things, in fact. He cannot die. He cannot lie. And that is very important to us. 1 Timothy 1:17, the King is eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. He cannot die. That's one of the things that we bring about, the difference between God and Jesus. God is immortal and has an inherent immortality dwelling in him. Jesus died, but he was later given incorruptibility or eternal life. So God cannot die. Therefore, any promise he's ever made will be carried out. The book of Titus, that little book after Timothy and before Hebrews, has some words on that to that effect. Titus 1:1-3. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. There are several words translated world in the New Testament. One of them is here, and it's the word age, or aeon. He promised this before the age began. Another one is gi, that has to do with earth. Another one, okomeni, has to do with the habitable earth. But this one is the word age. He promised the hope of eternal life. He cannot lie. And he promised this before the age began, but hath in due times manifest his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. So this is sure. He cannot die, he cannot lie. And he's promised that eternal life is our hope. And in the very next book, the sixth of the book of Hebrews, he talks about two immutable things. He talked about the promises that he made to Abraham. And so in the 18th verse, by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which we have as an anchor for our life. I wonder how people who don't have this anchor live in this troubled world. Because we have this as an anchor for our life. God made this promise. He can't lie. He can't die. It will be held. It will be actually fulfilled. In fact, the promises were Abraham were made by an oath and by a promise. He can't lie, and it will be carried out. His promises, he keeps his promises. In other words, that's what we're talking about today, is the faithfulness of God. He keeps his promises. The opposite of the faithfulness of God is the faithlessness of man. So we say to God, great is thy faithfulness. To man, great is your faithlessness. We see it all the time. I hear people say, in the old days, if people shook hands on something, they didn't need to put it in writing, because people kept their word. Now, even contracts written, signed, and sealed don't mean anything. People get out of them. I'm old-fashioned. I do what I say. Another area is in vows and marriage. I've married a good many people in my ministry. And it says in there, till death us do part. But a good many of them don't make it, because something or someone else comes along and they break those vows. So man is faithless. He does not keep his word. So in contracts, in vows, and even in religion, I'm not ashamed of God, and I'm not ashamed of his name, and I'm not ashamed of the Abrahamic faith. I do not consider it a hindrance. I consider it an opportunity, because when I tell people I'm Church of God of the Abrahamic faith, they say, what does that mean? So I get to talk about the Abrahamic covenant and promises. And this last week I talked to a person. I said, this is the insight into the present conflict in the Middle East, where you have two seeds of Abraham, natural and spiritual, fighting over the land that God made promise to give to Abraham and his seed. But many of our churches do not choose to put God's name on their churches, nor do they put Abraham's Abrahamic faith on it. Jeremiah, again, the 23rd chapter and the 28th verse, talks about the message of the false prophets. He said, it's like comparing chaff to wheat. How many of us could live very long if all we ever ate was the chaff that came off the wheat and not the wheat itself? And so it is with the Word of God is the wheat. The message of those who don't care is the chaff. Of course, I've already talked about how unfaithful Israel has been, and we don't want to walk in their footsteps. Question comes to me. You notice I don't ever say you. I say we and me, because we're in this together. How dependable are we? What do we think of a car that started one time in four? Go get rid of this pile of junk. If it only started one in every four times we cranked it. What do we think of a clock that was right only half the time? We didn't know when to go to work. We didn't know when to go to bed. What if we had a sun that came up only 2 days and seven instead of every day? I don't often talk about church attendance. I don't really think it's a complete barometer as to faithfulness or our own interest, but I do believe that it is an indicator. For instance, in Hebrews 10, it talks about people not assembling as they should. And he said we should assemble more as we see the day approaching. I think it's a symptom of our interest or lack of interest. It's about like saying, well, this isn't important. If we can suspend services or miss services at will, in a way we're saying this isn't important. I remind myself that the word church is not the building. The word church is from the Greek word ekklesia, meaning an assembly of called out ones of God. If you don't have an assembly, you don't have a church. If you don't have people, you don't have a church. So that is one of the big reasons. I love that place in Malachi. As the times got so tough, it said, they that loved the Lord spake often one to another to encourage and to uplift so that they would not be discouraged or turn away. That text, again, Lamentations. It is of Yahweh's mercies that we are not consumed. We deserve to be consumed, but because His compassions fail not, we aren't. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. That's God's faithfulness. What can we say about ourselves? That's the big question. I leave you with that.